Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Today's Tuesday, July the 8th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and pitch in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And we do already have a caller, but let's welcome Michael. Michael, are you there?
Oh, I know. You want me to undo my mute button. Have you got me now, Jean?
You're on.
Oh, good. My apology. Once again, welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. Our project is that of learning, integrating, and bringing forward to all of the world the first century Aramaic technology of forgiveness. We are honored, blessed, and delighted to have you join us and to support bringing forward. And just by lending that listening ear, there is support in bringing this forward to the planet. And what we are working to do is to put forward the knowledge to every person that hears what we're saying, that we as human beings are the active presence of love. We started an intensive last night, and there's a gentleman there who back a couple of years ago had a near-life experience. He was clinically dead, and in his clinical death, he had the experience of being the purity of love, knowing exactly who he was. And, you know, our question oftentimes is, hold a newborn child, you know what human life is. Well, this gentleman, having lived in, you know, the standard raucous insane world, all of a sudden finds himself dead and experiencing himself as the active presence of love. His body is resuscitated. He comes back from this clinical death, and he wants to talk about it, and he wants to share it with people. And to his frustration, showing him all the frustration that he held in his life, people would push it away, push him away. And in fact, last night as he was introducing himself, we did an introduction last night, the first day of our Food Fund Forgiveness and Work program. And so everybody was introducing themselves. And about three different times he shared how when he would tell people that he and they are the purity of love, they would push him away and didn't want to hear it. And that was kind of an interesting experience for him. And when he found our YouTube channel, he'd been doing some looking around on YouTube and found and listened to a couple of videos and kind of, you know, was like, oh, you know, I've been doing my work for 15 years, so this stuff this guy's talking about I pretty much know about. And then he came across a third YouTube video where we talked about the fact that we are the awesome presence of love. And that was the clicker for him, because that was a conversation which he could not find anywhere else in the world and couldn't find anybody else interested in it. We want to interest you in that conversation. and to recognize that whatever you're experiencing, whatever form of non-human behavior you're engaged in, if it's rage, if it's guilt, if it's grief, if it's fear, if it's self-deprecation, if it's I'm not good enough, you're not good enough, if only you could be better, if only I could be better, if only I could figure this out, if only I could find somebody to love me. If you're playing any of those non-human games, then we're going to invite you into a new awareness. If you've been looking for somebody to love you, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. As that song title went, looking for love in too many faces. You're not going to find it there. You're going to find it when you collapse what's going on in your body's mind and have a direct experience of being love. What the forgiveness process, the first century Aramaic forgiveness process does, is it gives you that direct experience each time you do it. It may only be for a fraction of a second as carbon-based memory kicks in and tells its story again about, no, you're not good enough, whatever it is that goes on. But each time you forgive, there's a mini near-life experience. When this gentleman spoke about having his near-death experience, I offered that, no, it's not a near-death experience, it's a near-life experience. You're back to human life, the active presence of love. Now, you could go out and see if you could have that experience by creating clinical death, but that's kind of a risky procedure. I don't suggest that one to anybody, but I do suggest that you take that reality management worksheet process and you start doing it in a systematic, consistent way. Be persistent with it, and you'll come to the point where you will collapse the output of your mind, collapse it enough until you get to that full-blown experience of being the active presence of love. A gentleman last week, whose granddaughter actually is here on the support team at Heartland this year, and his introduction to the work happened about 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago, in Sarasota, Florida. He came to a week-long series of workshops, and through that week-long series of workshops, he really tapped in and was doing his work, and he had a business thing to go to in Orlando the next week, and so he bought the cassette tapes. Back then, we were doing cassettes. We don't do those anymore. And listened to them all the way to Orlando, and he shared how, instead of rushing off to take care of business, he went to the park. And he was in this full-blown, direct experience of being love, being every self filled with the presence of love, and the beauty that the world held. He shared with me that, and this goes back 15 years ago, that as he was sitting in the park, there were two young boys who came riding by on a bicycle, one of them on the handlebars, and how he could notice that his body's mind would normally yell at them, and you're not safe, and you're going to hurt yourself, you better stop. But he said, I just sat on the bench and watched the beauty of these two young kids riding past in front of me on the bicycles. Everything takes on a whole different sheen when seen through the eyes of a human life, when seen through the eyes of love. Everything takes on a layer of darkness when seen through the eyes of hostility and fear. The world wants to keep us in darkness. The world wants to keep us believing that fear is what will keep us safe, and hostility is our best friend because it strengthens us and protects us. And that's all a total, complete fraud and a lie. Your hostility and fear will resonate in this energetic world, draw to you 1,000 experiences where your hostility and fear will be necessary. And you believe that it's necessary because in that situation, you believe you couldn't have gotten ahead without it. But it was your hostility and fear that drew out of you and drew to you the circumstance where it seemed like hostility or fear was necessary, whether it is the situation of something happening between you and your children, you and your spouse, you and your neighbor, you and your employer, employee, somebody you work with, a criminal, all the same. did some they've done a significant amount of research in prisons where they do kind of a reverse lineup, and they bring people in off the street and walk them through a lineup, and they have the prisoners picking out who are the people they'd attack. And virtually every time they do this, the same people, oh, there's the guy I'd go after. Oh, there's the one I'd pickpocket. There's the one I'd beat up on. There's the one I'd steal from. Why? Because they're the ones with the active hostility and fear. And when hostility and fear is active, yes, they will become necessary. You will prove to yourself how important they are, because you will create and draw to you experiences where it will seem they are necessary. I did a workshop in, actually a workshop series in Marietta, Georgia, Marietta, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And I used to speak there quite regularly. The minister of that started that particular Unity Center was someone that I had worked with a lot in Atlanta back in the early years. And I had done a series of workshops 1 year and then come back the next year, and on Sunday morning, this young woman rushed up to me with just the biggest smile and the biggest grin on her face and telling me how I had saved her life. And it was like, well, you know, I got into town late last night. I haven't seen you since I got here. I don't think it was me. You know, it's somebody else. And she went on to share how she had about done the full series of workshops the year before when I was in Atlanta. And she said that, you know, what you'll hear me oftentimes speak about conscious, active, present love. They're words I use a lot. That's something we want to drive home to people. Conscious, active, present love is human life. That's where you want to live. And she shared with me that that was a phrase after she did that week-long series that would ring in her head often, conscious, active, present love. And that about 6 months earlier, she had gone, she finished work and gone home to her apartment, which is about 6 months before this second series that I was there to do. And she went into her apartment and locked the door and found herself locked in her apartment with a man who had a knife and said he was going to rape her and kill her. Held the knife to her throat, stripped her, and began to rape her. And she was in terror. And she said, and I knew that he was serious and that he was going to kill me. And she said, all of a sudden, as I'm being raped, the words pop in my head. I hear your voice, Michael. Conscious, active, present love. And she said, I'd worked with that so much since the previous workshop series that all of a sudden I was able to go into that space. And the fact that this man was going to kill me meant nothing to me in that space. She said, I looked at him, and I saw from that space, and her words were stark, raving terror in his eyes, on his face. And she said, when I saw that, even though he is physically raping me and holding a knife to my throat and reinforcing that he's going to kill me, she said, when I saw that from that space of love, she said, I just went into total compassion for him. And she said, instantly when I went into that space of compassion, he began to cry, his knife. He got up off of me and ran out of my apartment. She said, by going to that space, it saved my life. Now, I guarantee if she fought and raged and scratched and bit, she'd probably be dead from the description she gave. There is a power in you that's greater than all the hostility and fear in the world. Now, if you deny that, you know, there's a hierarchy. I haven't really talked about this in the past, but there's a hierarchy of denial. There's kind of like minimal impact denial, and that is that when I deny something that happened or is happening and pretend it didn't happen, I'm in denial. And but that's the kind of denial that is minimal impact in our world. The second tier denial is where the real problem is. And that is, and our definition of denial, second tier denial is, when I think a thought or speak the words as though someone else is the cause of what's happening inside of me, I'm in denial. This is the really important form of denial that needs to be corrected. Yeah, the other stuff that pretends something isn't true that is, that's important. But not even a shadow of the effect of second-tier denial, which is I think or I speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something happening inside of me. When I do that, what happens is I have to cut myself off from the part of my mind that's creating the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, or the turmoil. In order to convince myself and produce a picture and a reality that the cause is outside of me, when I speak of or think of the cause being outside of me, I dissociate from the part of my mind that is the cause of what's happening inside of me. And when I dissociate from that part of my mind, that part of my mind is no longer mine to change. And I will keep setting out the frequency, the energy of hostility or fear, keep drawing people in that will prove to me how important my hostility and fear is, how I need to be in terror to be safe, and I need to be able to raise up in my rage and attack and kill if I need to. And it's called self-fulfilling prophecy. I create exactly the result that I'm focused on because I forget that I'm a creator. When I remember that I am a creator, and I produce the results in my life, and I see myself producing results out of hostility and fear, and I move out of my denial, what's the difference? Well, when I'm in denial, I say, you really made me mad. You really frightened me. Those words are instructions to my mind that tell my mind to cut me off from the awareness that my mad and my fear are caused from inside of me and are the very things that are producing the results in my world. When I collapse that hostility and fear-based mind, which is what first century Aramaic forgiveness does, I now am no longer cut off from the part of me that's creating the problem. Now, having resolved that denial by taking responsibility, what would that look like? Well, in one case, the denial looks like, you made me mad, you made me afraid. In the other case, it's a simple shift of words and mind energy, but so powerful. And the shift is, you know, when you did that behavior, that really brought up a lot of fear in me. That really showed me some rage I didn't know I had, and I'm ready to resolve my rage. Thanks for showing it to me. Now when I apply forgiveness, I remove the root of my rage and fear, which means I remove the energy that creates the need for rage and fear, for attack and war. I remove it because I'm the creator of it. And when I find a part of me with which I create it and I believe it's necessary, then I get to heal that part of me. And when I heal that part of me, everything around me changes. As with this young lady I just shared about, what happened to the attacker that was committed to killing her. All of a sudden, the energy that drew him was gone, and so was he. I could tell you, Jeannie could tell you, we've watched 1,000 stories. Dr. Kim could tell you 1,000 stories. If Julie's on the phone today, she could. I don't know if Rex is with us today, but everyone who's been working with people and doing this work could tell you all kinds of stories about how when one contacts that dissociated part of the mind, healing happens and the recreation is amazing. I mean, literally, you know, if you look in the ancient physics called the New Testament in its original Aramaic language, when they said the world would be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, They were speaking physics and telling us exactly what would happen when we change the energy with which we create the results in our lives. Literally, the world around us, the world within us, the physiology that we inhabit totally shifts its frequency, totally shifts what it's doing. Because back of and superior to every appearance in your life, every feeling, every thought, back of and superior to it is the creative process that happens inside of you. If your creative process is drawing to you reasons for hostility or fear, then it's time to change that part of your mind. Well, how do I change that part of my mind, Michael? Well, the first thing you have to do is own it. You can't keep pretending that it's somebody else's fault. You've got to grow up and become the author of your own life. Recognize that you are the author. I shouldn't say become the author. You already are, but recognize that you are. Find and heal those parts of your mind, and the expression, what shows up in the external world, will change. If it is obvious to you that the problem is everybody else in your life, guess what will happen? Everybody else in your life will manifest as the problem. Interesting, in the Aramaic, this is Dale and I did a workshop together a few weeks ago in Asheville, and we got into the meaning of this word manifest, and people think manifest means, well, you know, I want this money, so I manifest this money. I want this job, this car, this big house, so I manifest it. But actually, the word manifest in Aramaic has been translated as that, is more correctly translated as obvious. If it's obvious to me that the problem's everybody else, I will manifest lots of people who will do it to me and show me that what's obvious to me is true. So everybody gets to live in their manifestation, in what is obvious to them. And the way the mind is structured, if the mind is structured, then it's obvious that men are this way, then, you know, it's going to be tough for any other kind of man to show up in your space. And if he does, you're going to perceive him differently. If it's obvious to you that women are really the problem in your world, then you're going to get all kinds of problem women. It will manifest. It will be obvious. What is obvious to you will become your experience, even if you have to totally make it up. If you had the perfect woman standing in front of you, you had Mother Mary, Mother Teresa all rolled into one, guess what? If it's obvious to you that women are the problem in your life, be the problem. Mother Mary, Mother Teresa would literally be the problem in your life. And so as you become aware and change what's obvious, then everything changes and wake-up time. So that's our project. That's what we're here to do and support. And we'd be delighted to hear, if Dr. Tim is with us, what Dr. Tim might have to share with us today.
He is with us, and he's on.
Hi, I'm here. I'm enjoying the intro, and I'm driving, so I won't say much. Jeannie did say there was a caller with a hand up already, so.
Yes.
So I'm all for just listening since I'm driving today.
Cool. All right. Well, drive safely. I take it you're heading to the meeting in Chicago?
No, I am driving back to my office. I was down in Naperville for another breath session.
Oh, okay. Well, I had talked with Rex, and he was on his way to Chicago, so I thought you might be on the way to that. So, okay, cool. Well, let's tap in and see what our caller has to share.
Okay, it's area code 313. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, my name is Sherelle.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Where are you calling from?
Hi, Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, cool. Glad you're here.
I have a question. Is this a psychic show or a radio show, or is it based off what you were talking about?
Everything that we just talked about is what our radio show is about. No, we don't get into the psychic realm. There are some people that do intuitive stuff on the Angel Network, but we're not in that realm. We're working from first-century Aramaic texts and working to bring forward the understanding of first-century Aramaic forgiveness and the corollary tools that go along with that. So we're here to support. It's called Mind Shifter Radio because people who do our work and have support groups, they're called Mind Shifter Support Groups, and we're here to support people shifting their minds.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I had the wrong number.
Okay.
You have a great evening, okay? Take the next caller.
Okay. Blessings. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. You too.
All right. One of the things that, you know, when you think about it from an energetic perspective that one needs to be careful of is moving into that psychic realm is that oftentimes because the psychic perceives through the content of their own body-mind unit, through their own what we call carbon-based memory, they oftentimes will project their own content. That's why in the ancient teachings they warned about that realm, is to be careful because if you get into a space of receptivity to the psychic, and, you know, an example I usually use in this idea is, you know, somebody's going through some relationship difficulty and they go to the psychic who's been through a terrible divorce, and the psychic, because of their own experience and the content of their own mind, says, oh, you're going to have this terrible divorce. And if the person who's going for that reading accepts that, then it will become obvious to them that that's what will happen. They will manifest that. They will bring that about in their world. So be careful that you've got somebody who isn't planting seeds that aren't accurate about where you're at. You know, it could be a relationship issue, and it's just, oh, you know, you got a relationship issue, and here's some work you need to do. You do some forgiveness around this. You tap into the commitment, and you use that, and all of a sudden those relationship issues are resolved. Instead of if it becomes obvious to you because of what's implanted by that other person. Of course, this is universal. Watch what you watch on television. Watch whose mind you engage with. This is one piece of the puzzle the Greeks did have together. They said, guard the portals of the mind. Be careful who you let in there, because if you get a deep enough energy planted by some authority, by the television, by the soap operas and what, oh, drama and drama, then that energy will become what is obvious to you in a circumstance, and therefore that energy will become what manifests for you. So we're moving in a different direction. We're looking to empower people to have the tools with which, if there's something obvious to you and it's made out of hostility or fear, if there's something manifesting for you based in hostility or fear, we're here to support you going into the depths of your own being and removing those things. The word forgive means remove. It doesn't mean let people off the hook for what's happening in you. It's taking what's inside yourself. And the key that will tell you whether it's inside of you or not is, are you feeling it? If you're feeling it, then you know it's something inside of you. And while something in your world may trigger that for you, that in the world is not the cause of what's happening inside of you. And we are always manifesting or bringing about in our creative process what is obvious to our minds. And if what's obvious to our minds comes from hostility or fear, then you want to own and forgive the hostility and fear. And as you do, then something different will become obvious / manifest. So those two words are interchangeable. The obvious manifest. If it manifests, it's because it was obvious to you. It's because that content was in you. And what first century Aramaic forgiveness does is it empowers you to remove all content based on hostility or fear. And then what will become obvious to you is that it's an awesome, loving world, and every newborn that's ever come into the world will begin to manifest in accord with the truth of who we are. Even the crotchety old guy down the road will start to manifest differently when you hold a different space. Even that person that you look at on the other side of the bed in the morning, if you've been blaming them for something, if it's been obvious to you that what you're feeling is all their fault, and you take responsibility, you stop your denial, and you forgive and remove that which is in you, then all of a sudden it will become obvious to you that that person beside you is this awesome presence of love, the same as you are, and the ability to join in and as that presence of love will change everything in your world. In the process of doing that, mental diseases will disappear. Emotional disorders will disappear. Physical diseases will disappear. Financial diseases will disappear. Relationship diseases will disappear. But as long as you want to hold on and make it obvious that it's about something other than the contents of your own mind, as long as you want to stay in denial, you can hold all that other stuff in place, and it will manifest. It will play out that way. Our invitation is take responsibility. And, you know, you don't have to believe me. Don't believe a word that I'm saying. Just take the tools, use them with integrity, and watch what happens. And if you haven't accessed the First Century Forgiveness tool yet from the Aramaic, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. You can download my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free from that website. And you can also go in, if you look on the home page, there's a bullseye right about the middle of the page, and you click on that bullseye, and that will give you a whole series of links on how to forgive, how to enter into, how to start with the forgiveness process. The first link is chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? It explains in a conversation format with this character named Richard the importance of forgiveness, and then guides him through the process. The second link is the latest reality management worksheet. It does not match what's in the chapter 24 of my book. That's something that I'm rewriting, but it will give you the starting point. It's a pretty easy, intuitive leap into that new seven-step worksheet. The one that's in chapter 24 right now is actually a 12-step process. But the seven-step, it's an easy leap. And then, following those two links, there are at least 10 or 12 different links that are radio shows where we've walked somebody through step by step the whole forgiveness process. I think there are one or two up there that Dr. Tim has done, there are one or two that Ginny's done, and there's several that I've done. And so you can listen to a specific set of instructions. I don't know if any of the radio shows match the latest worksheet. As we make new discoveries and test the effectiveness of the worksheet, it's always being tweaked. And so there'll be some intuitive leaps, but the radio shows that you can download, they're MP3s, you just right-click on them, save them to your computer, wherever you know, save stuff like that in your hard drive, and there's an MP3 you can put on your phone or your MP3 player or your iPad or whatever, or listen to on the computer, and take the worksheet, and there's step-by-step guidance through the whole process. And so we'd be delighted for you to join in that. And if you're ready to take your work to the next level, if this conversation is making sense to you, then you might want to look at the schedule on our website. And, Jeannie, I don't know if we can put the schedule right up somewhere prominent, but I've been hearing from several people, and they just can't find it on the website. But maybe we can put a link somewhere, you know, right there on the front page that's easy right up top where people can get to
it. Well, there is a big button, Michael. At the top of the page is a button that says schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more prominent that can be. It says home, healing, and schedule.
No. I don't know. I just heard from another person this morning that was on the website this morning and said, I can't find the intensive. I want to register, and I can't find the schedule. So I don't know. Anyway, just a thought. But you can click on that. So it's on the schedule button and see Heartland and intensive flyer. And we've got, we actually just started last night with a group arriving of a 10-day food fund forgiveness and work project, so that's underway. And on the 18th of July, we'll start a 16-day codependence communication practicum. So we're going to do codependence to interdependence. So we'll do why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, and communication. Did you hear what I think I said? It's totally new intensive. It's going to go deeply into the codependent process and provide a number of different tools for undoing, for looking at those deeper hidden parts of the mind and working through them. And then we'll be doing some communication work. And in the communication work, we'll be doing practical, you know, people who have a conflict sitting across from each other and digging in, and we'll be supporting people moving into responsibly communicating rather than the projection communication that our world teaches us. You know, we live in a world that tells us to say, and you made me mad, when you did that, that really upset me. and that's called projection communication. It's that denial process that hides the part of my mind that I need to heal. So we'll be doing a lot of practical people sitting face-to-face in their conflict and feeding back to them, well, notice how your mind's working there. Notice this. And so it is one of the most powerful tools when people start to use it. If by chance Magda's on, I know that when Magda spent 6 months here at Heartland, it was one of her favorite tools to work with. And so you might want to check that out. The codependent. Say again?
Magda is on.
Oh, cool. Well, let me just talk about the rest of the schedule. Oh, go ahead, Magda. You got something to share with us?
I do want to make a plug for this particular workshop. I'm so happy that you are putting these two workshops together, the codependence to interdependence and the communication workshop. I'm very excited about it. And, yes, that learning how to communicate responsibly is one of the best tools. I think it's, for me, second to the forgiveness worksheet. It's just so important. So I
want to
make a plug. That's it.
I know that.
I couldn't hear that.
Oh, I was just starting to say that I know that when you were here, that everybody on the team was really using that tool deeply, and that it really opens some huge spaces for everybody.
We were learning it. I think since having left, we were working on learning it. And it is difficult to learn until people learn to take responsibility if each of us takes responsibility for our own lives and what we bring into our lives. And so it takes a lot of practice to actually learn how to use the responsibility communication properly. I used to use it as a sledgehammer. I would use it as a guide for telling somebody else what I thought was what they were doing that was wrong. So I followed the format and my intent after I began to observe what was happening and what was resulting from that is that I was using it improperly. So it does take a lot of practice. And I'm very, very happy that you're going to be coaching us during the process. I think that's the kind of thing we really, really need is active coaching and the ability to correct right then and there.
Well, it's interesting, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, there, or what's called the Lord's Prayer, which is an instruction set for living as love, there is a line that can be properly translated as, get us out of our habit mind. And the challenge, actually, the learning of the responsibility communication tool is pretty simple. It's seven simple, easy steps. But the habit of the mind of, no, this is something about you rather than about me, that's where the difficulty is in changing the output of that habit mind and really moving into a whole different space as creator of what happens in your world. I hear you
Absolutely.
Loud and clear, and I'm excited. You know, it came out of last year's, as you know, you were there. It came out of a conversation. It was just what people wanted, and that's why we created this intensive, so this particular combination of materials. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Well, that was all I wanted to do was to say how important and how excited I am about it. So
sure.
I'll sign off.
Fabulous. Thank you.
All
right.
See you later. Okay.
Okay. Bless you.
Love you.
So
Bye-bye.
So that workshop will be the codependence to interdependence communication class, and we'll start on the 18th of July and go through I don't have the schedule in front of me. Let me just pull it up here. It'll go through the August 2nd. So July 18th to August 2nd, 16 days. And then we'll go into, if you're ready to take your work to the next level, we'll go into a 9-day Why is this happening to me again? It'll start on August 4th and go through the 12th. Then that will kick into a teacher's training, which will go through August 20th. And then there's the 16-day laws of living, still point breathing, which will start on August 22nd and go through September 6th. So that's what our intensive schedule looks like this summer. And if you're ready, we're actually it's a small season this year. It seems like since 9/11, it's difficult to get people to travel. So we're doing more local intensives. That seems to be more what people want. But we are still doing our Heartland work. And so if you're ready to take your work to the next level, come and join us. We've got an awesome space in the Ozark Mountains. We've got 17 acres and 15 buildings. We have it's a residential workshop. Ari is here, and he was just saying last night to the group that he's going to be here for at least a month. So the next month of workshops, we'll be doing just some awesome food, and everybody who participates in the intensives will also have the opportunity to put their hands into this fresh and raw food preparation, which is just a whole learning experience of its own, so that it's something people can take home with them. And then we'll be going into the process work of each of those intensives. So if you want to catch the schedule, go to schedule on the homepage, and that's where you'll find the specifics of it. And basically, you know, for people who ask the question, well, how much does it cost? Gee, that must be really expensive. Well, actually, if you look at the different kind of workshops that are around, we're right down in terms of cost at the kind of at the bottom of the row, purposely, so that it's accessible to people. And if you want to do an intensive food, this awesome gourmet vegetarian food, accommodations, workshop materials, everything totally included for 9 days is $1,575. So you can come and spend 9 days here, and your pocket will only be lighter by $1,575. And the kind of meals, you know, we've had people in the last couple of years, when we serve a meal and then there's a dessert, they'll say, well, you know, there's this raw food restaurant in Chicago that I go to, or there's this raw food restaurant in Atlanta. And, gee, if we'd have had the meal we just had at that raw food restaurant, this meal would have cost $75 with dessert. And it's true. I mean, the food we serve is just absolutely amazing. And people who put their hands on it and get an understanding of the food prep, which is part of the intensive, is a really big big gift. We see lots of people changing their lives around us as they do move into that more fresh and raw food. So
that's what's happening. In the meantime, Jeannie, is there anybody with a conversation going on in the chat room that would be pertinent to speak about, and or is there anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
Nobody has their hand up right at the moment, and somebody in the chat room must have been who you talked about not finding the work schedule, and it's that they were looking from their mobile phone, and so mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I can't change the website to fit every tablet and phone, so I don't know what the answer to that one would be. Somebody has a solution.
There is a mobile app that people can link to, I think, to do that. And
right.
That's up at the top
yeah.
of the page, isn't it? So, yeah, I actually haven't looked at that lately.
Right.
Okay. Cool. So if anybody wants to come and play, my phone number is on the flyer. If you are interested in joining us for those intensives, then you just pick up the phone and call me on my cell. And I'll be here, and I'll answer, and we'll get you set up. It would be a delight. We'd be a delight to have more people here this summer. It would be fabulous. And so our calling number, if you're on one of those stations that we can't access through our control panel, or Gina can't access in the control panel, then you can simply pick up the phone and call 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, we'd be delighted to answer it. And there's no waiting. If you're on the phone right now and you had a question, you look at what we've been talking about, and if you're nervous, let go of your nervousness. It's okay to get on the radio with us. We're safe. We don't bite, and nobody else will. Okay, so your voice is a little shaky. That's all right, too. But that introduction, the conversation we had to start out, if you were in an audience where I presented those ideas, as I walked down from the platform, would you be walking over to me and asking a question? Then here's the space to ask that question. One of the things we oftentimes hear from people is, oh, you know, my question's so basic, I don't know, you know, if I should ask it or not. But actually the most basic questions oftentimes are the ones that bring about the most gifts for people. And so even if you're brand new to this and you're like, gee, I don't even know what to ask, start with what's on your mind. And as you do, then you can open the space for many people. And, Jeannie, I just went to the events page on YAGAIN with my mobile phone here and just opened it through a web browser, clicked on it, and the schedule's right there. You know, there's a picture of Ari holding a couple of bowls of food, and so the schedule's right there if you're looking on your mobile phone. So it's easy.
Awesome. Yeah, I just typed into the chat room to go to YAGAIN.org on the mobile phone and click on the, it says advanced mobile devices. So
right.
Very good. We were both thinking the same thing at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, the whole, I mean, I just click on it and bang, there it is, all of the events right up through October 31st. So easy to find. Cool. Fabulous. So, questions. Who has a question? We've got about 15 minutes left, and that's plenty of time to address a question or two. Which one? And we'll answer your question, or at least we'll do the best we can to answer your question. And if we don't have a question, then we can move into some different ideas, and that is looking at this forgiveness process as a way to come to a new place in how you not only view your world, but where you stand in your world. Now, if you go back, Archimedes was a gentleman who invented the lever, you know, where you could use a lever to do a huge amount of work. And so someone who wants to move a 10-ton boulder couldn't even think about budging it, but with a long enough lever and a fulcrum point and standing in the right place can move that 10-ton boulder with one hand. Archimedes said, show me the place to stand and I will move the world. I thought that was a pretty powerful quote. Show me the place to stand and I will move the world. Well, guess what? 2,000 years ago, there was a man who gave every person in the world that wants to resolve challenges in their lives, he gave directions on where to stand to move your world. Step by step instructions. Unfortunately, the Greeks misinterpreted that and it became something other than what it was. But if you want to know where to stand to, as Archimedes said, move your world, here's where you stand first. You stand in your human life. You will never change your world standing in your hostility, your fear, your grief, your rage, your pain, your drama, or your trauma. All of that is an absolute total waste of time relative to standing in your human life. And your human life is the same as everybody else's. We all came in the same way as this awesome presence of love. I get many people who will fight back on that, who will argue, oh, no, my rage, that's how I get motivated to get things done in my world. Yeah, but I guess if you do it through rage, what you'll find is that you'll produce results that manifest, make rage obvious, and bring it about, more of it about in your world. So while you may use it to motivate you, I love how Gandhi said it. He had a beautiful phrase that he used. He said, the tool you use to produce a result always produces a result like the tool. So, for instance, if you use the tool of complaint, you know, every communication to somebody is a complaint. Guess what you're going to get? you're going to get more reasons to complain in your world. And notice, if you live as a complaint, how much misery there is in living in the world as a complaint, of always seeing what's wrong, always knowing the thing that's, you know, off base, and, of course, always knowing what needs to happen to correct it. It's like, well, do the correction in your own life. Change what's obvious to you, and forgiveness is the key tool, and all of a sudden you'll find that the pain of being a complainer will disappear, and you get to live in a whole different world. You get to live in a different world than your bloodline trained you to live. Each and every one of us tends to live in the world that was obvious to our parents and their parents and their parents. You know, Mick yesterday in our morning session, he's a gentleman that's here at Heartland. I shared this a little bit yesterday, but it bears repeating today. He was doing a worksheet, and he was able to see a pattern in his grandson and in his son, in his father, and in his grandfather. And, you know, this man's about 50-ish. There was no sign of that pattern in his life until he did some forgiveness around it. And then the pattern in himself became obvious and laughable. But blockage of truth said, no, it's not in me. It's not until we stop our denial that we can see what we're doing to ourselves. And what you will find yourself undoing with that forgiveness process is generations and generations and generations of insanity that have been trained into you. The ones that I've had trained into me are my work. The ones you've had trained into you are your work. If you insist that you'll feel better if I do my work or I do it your way, good luck. If I insist that I'll feel better if you do it my way, good luck. Ain't going to work. All we're offering is some tools that say, here, try it. You'll like it. Watch what happens. Don't believe it. Just take it and put it to work. Now, if you've got some other tools that work for you, that's awesome. Great. But there is, in my estimation, in my experience, one core key tool, and that's the tool of forgiveness. Now, you may want to try and figure it out and see if you can do it your way, and hey, have at it. Everybody's got the right to do that. What I've found is what works best is doing it his way. 2,000 years ago, it was a man named Yeshua who brought a tool. I haven't seen anybody smart enough to outfigure how he did it. So, now, you might be brighter than he was. You might be brighter than I am. Who knows? That's cool. I'd love the feedback. If you are, if you discover something new. But take the tool, put the pen to the paper, and watch how your mind starts to change. It doesn't require any belief. It just requires engaging in the tool. You know, and like any other tool, gee, we have an automobile, and you drive to town. It's a great tool. It's going to be really hard if you decide, well, you know, that guy keeps telling me that I have to put the key in the ignition to drive. He thinks he's so hot. He thinks he knows how to do it all. He just keeps telling me to put the key in the ignition. Well, good luck driving to town if you refuse to put the key in the ignition. It's got nothing to do with he's so hot. It's just how the car works. It's just how the tool works. Use the tool. Now, try to change it according to your own way of thinking, and you'll probably conform to keeping yourself in your own blockages. That's the way it works. Take it, use it, watch what happens. It always boggles my mind. It boggles my mind every time I do a worksheet, what I uncover for me. And it boggles my mind every time I sit with somebody who takes it and uses it. It's just quite amazing. Quite amazing. And so our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We're down to about 6 minutes, 5 minutes. So if you have a thought or a question, if you push one and you're in the phone queue, it will put a hand up and Jeannie will announce you. And or if you're in the chat room, if you're in the chat room as a guest, unfortunately, they've got it set up so you can't communicate. You can't ask questions. But there's a really simple registration process, and you can just pop through that, register, and then you can ask questions in the chat room, too. You'd be part of the whole chat. So it's a delight to have everybody join us that is here every day. We're honored. We're blessed. And things are rock and roll here at Heartland. And Jeannie, is there anything in the chat room happening or anybody with a hand up?
No, nobody has their hand up. conversation in the chat room kind of goes along the lines, without reading the whole thing, of, you know, there are a lot easier ways of doing things, and I know I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way, but I wish that I had taken advice and done things differently than I did. And, you know, now we can question the wrongs that we did and everything, mm-hmm. but along those lines, I know that if I had done some things differently, even as a child, that I wouldn't be having to clear out so much stuff that I'm going through now.
Fine, yeah. I hear that one loud and clear. I wish I'd had, you know, I was brought up with Yeshua, but I was brought up with the Greek idea of Yeshua. Man, how different my life would be, how different it would have been if I had been brought up with his original understanding from the beginning. How it's incalculable. I mean, it took me, I don't even know how many years, too many years to find it. And then it took me several years to start to apply it. You know, the beauty of teaching this, here's a thing. If you find yourself not, you know, being too busy to do your inner work and such, commit to teaching it. When you commit to teaching it, then you'll get to heal. It's like, you know, it's the forced development and forced growth program. Because you will draw everybody to you that will show you everything that brings up your frustration, your rage, your guilt, your grief, and your fear, and you'll get to work through all those things. It's absolutely amazing. And by the way, our teacher training is something that's, it has a dual design, and it's designed for people, of course, who want to teach, who want to move forward and bring this, help to bring this work to the world, but it's also designed for people who just want to deepen their understanding and experience of the forgiveness process. We literally spend the whole 9 days just on the principles of why is this happening to me again, and so it's a pretty awesome process if anybody's interested in either application of the forgiveness process, either teaching it or just deepening your own understanding. And, you know, in 45 years of doing this work, it's probably for me the last 4 or 5 years that I've really been taught why and how it works and what it really means. So we invite you to come and play. And beyond that, we're down to about 3 minutes. Anything else on your mind, Jeannie?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 541. You're on the air.
Cool. Well, we're down to about
Julie.
A minute or so, but let's go for it.
Okay, yeah, I don't have a question. I just have a big, huge thank you and maybe an encouragement that these wonderful summer intensives really are a cleansing potential for anyone who attends. Including the food. Oh, my gosh. I felt so healthy after being there for 2 weeks. So I thank you, Michael, again for all of your contribution to my life. And I could be there, but I have financial restrictions still at this time, so, which I'm clearing gradually. So that's why you haven't heard from me signing up.
Well,
so, anyway,
you know that if you want to come to one of the intensives, we're happy to work with you to break the payment down over whatever time period you need. If you need a year, if you need 2 years, I don't care. So if you're ready to do another level of work, give me a call and let's set it up and come and do it. So I'll just throw that out.
Thank you. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're happy to work with you.
That's very
generous.
Oh,
this,
thank you.
I think this codependent communication workshop is going to be extremely powerful this year. So, anyway,
I do too.
I'll throw that.
Okay.
Okay, blessings. Take care. And we're down to the last few seconds, so we just, one, invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Two, put the pen to the paper, do your work. And three, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Evolving, continue.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.